I was bad this week. I left my Bible at church. Believe it? The whole week. Lucky I got 50,000 more at home. But I also left my binder that I so neatly put my sermons in. So now I'm going to be making noise up here. Well, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Well, let's go before him and pray, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love and your mercy and this opportunity we have to serve you through song and to serve you through discussing the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that we would learn from it today, that we would apply what we learned to our lives. Give us wisdom as the topic we are discussing is one that we might come in contact with other believers who might believe differently. So I pray, Lord, you'd give us wisdom in that area. And Lord, as always, I pray that you'd give me strength to preach, for I'm but a man. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've been here for a while, you know we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians. And we've made our way through quite a bit. We're in chapter 14 today. Last week, this week, and next week, we're discussing the topic of the gift of tongues. And so if you were here last week, some of the things that we learned was that tongues were an already established language, that meaning Greek, Hebrew, Italian, Chinese, whatever. It was something that was already established. We learned that mainly from the book of Acts, where in Acts chapter 2, where Luke goes into great detail to explain to us that these were established languages, something that another person could understand. And in that case, in their own tongue, they were listening to these disciples praising God and giving him glory, and they heard it in their own tongue. And it was something that they marveled at. And so we established the fact that these languages that were spoken, the gift of tongues, is something that is an already established language. It's not something that is unknown in the sense of no one on earth speaks this language but just this person at this given time. But it was unknown to the individual. If God at that particular time in church history came upon me and wanted to give me that gift of speaking in Spanish so that I could witness in Spanish, then I would receive that gift, even though I don't know any Spanish. Okay? And we also learned last week that it is the Holy Spirit of God that is the giver of gifts. That is clear throughout Scripture, but also it's clear in the aspect or in the topic of tongues. Every case that we have read about so far, it is the Holy Spirit that is the giver of the gifts, not man. And the reason we talked about that is because there are some, not all, that believe that the gift of tongues can be given by another individual who has that gift. They have the power to lay hands on another individual and they will receive that gift of tongues. And others believe, we didn't talk about this last week, but it just came to me, others also believe that it's something that can be learned. Meaning you can, hey, come on over. Let's have some tea, sit in my living room, and the two of us, I will teach you. Just say whatever comes to your mind. Okay, we'll probably discuss that a little more next week. But just the first thing that comes to your mind, just say it. Even if it's mumble jumble, just do it. And they start to learn how to do this and get comfortable doing it. That's unbiblical. It's something that is given directly by the Holy Spirit. It's never a gift of man, because man is not the giver of gifts. Amen. So that's different from Scripture. So we learned that. We also learned last week that there are different reasons why God allowed this to take place, why God gave this gift. There's a purpose behind everything that God does. One reason, there are others, but one reason was for the purpose of establishing the church. The church was not yet established, and God was showing in his miraculous way, his power through the apostles and those first generation believers, what they were speaking were true. They were given the power because it wasn't just speaking in tongues. It was healing. It was miracles. It was other things that went along with these sign gifts that perked people's ears up and had them pay attention. Okay, so it was for the establishment of the church. And we will see today another reason why, in reference to the Jewish people, we see another reason why tongues were given. Okay, get your listening ears on and lick your fingers. We're going to read this entire chapter. Yeah, listen to me read for that long. I know, I'm sorry, but it's the way it is. It's the Word of God, so it speaks for itself. Praise the Lord. But we're going to start in verse 5. That's where we left off last time. It says, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? So he's letting them know that it's edification. Remember, we talked about this last time too. Edification is very important in regards to this gift. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. See, that's important for us to recognize as well. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues, in other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by 2, or at the most by 3, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak 2 or 3, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. What came the word of God out from you, or came it only unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak in tongues. Let all be done decently and in order. So a lot of things going on in this passage. I know some of your ears perked up on the women in silence. You couldn't read on any further. I know that came up. We've talked about that before. It's not part of our discussion today, but just real quick, this was in regards to tongues, by the way. Women speaking in tongues in the church setting and trying to take authority over the man in that setting with the revelation, and it had to be done in order. That's what we got in detail on that one other time, so we're not going to hit that today. But we get from this passage that tongues, along with other gifts, are to be done properly. That's with everything with the Lord. He wants things done decently and in order. And the Corinthian church was not doing things decently in order. And I'm not talking about just all the sins and the other issues that this church had. But in regards to this particular, these gifts here, they were not being used properly. It was causing confusion. People were not being edified. They were not growing in their faith. And people were thinking those speaking in tongues were just mad that what is going on here. Now, that happens today. Unbelievers come into churches and they see that and they're like, whoa, something weird is going on here. And it causes a stumbling block. It causes an issue. Why? Well, number one, I do not believe tongues are for today. But number two, even if it was, it's not being done decently and in order, therefore causing an issue rather than them recognizing that it's of God, which is what should be happening. At this time in church history, we must remember, it said right at the very end of our chapter here, that tongues shouldn't be forbidden. Now, and this was because just because some did not handle tongues properly doesn't mean that the gift should just be done away with or said, hey, don't do it. No, just Paul's like, you have to do this in the proper way. When you do it in the proper way, it'll work out just fine. But they weren't. So he's saying, don't forbid tongues just because it might cause an issue. You do what God calls you to do if he reveals something to you, but remember, he has a way for you to reveal this to the church assembly, and it all comes down to the leadership too, and they test what you have said. If it's wrong, then it obviously wasn't of God. Notice Paul early on in this chapter, he references the fact that everyone, seems like every person coming into the church had some sort of revelation, something they received from God. And that's why you had to test what they said, because let's be honest, we're all humans. People like the spotlight. People like to feel like they belong. People like to think they're more spiritual than they really are. And so they act holier than thou, in a sense, right? Well, the same thing's happening there, fighting for position. You have this church that's in the middle of being established, and you have people coming in trying to find their spot in the church, and therefore it was causing, their pride was causing an issue in the church. And so he has to say, hey, this needs to be done in order. Now, unfortunately today, when you enter into many churches that hold to that tongues are still for today, the unfortunate thing is they do not hold to the biblical definition that we explained last week. It is not Italian, Spanish, English, or whatever. It is something else. So right off the bat, you go in there and you recognize, okay, this is something, but it is not tongues of the Bible. It's something, but it's not this. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is that? And you'll see throughout this lesson, we'll, especially next week, we'll lay our finger on what it is. I believe what it is. So today, though, we see this sadness going on. And this is one of the things, as you guys know, bothers me. It doesn't matter if it's tongues or just teaching or whatever. One of the things that bothers me with the church today is the lack of edification that is in the church. All of the surface level teaching, feel good, motivational speaking, which we should be automatically motivated out of what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. Yes, he loves us. He died for us. We have each other. We have this wonderful gift and this wonderful life in Christ, and that is motivating. That is something wonderful. But if you don't have a foundation for all of that, if you don't understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't understand the truths that are in Scriptures, that is all going to fall apart. And this is just one more example of that, because tongues today do not fall under the category of edification for the believer, and it makes me sad. Because another brother and sister in Christ could have a closer, more intimate relationship with God, and they're being duped by something that a temporary fix instead of a lasting foundation, which is only found in Christ. And that saddens me. And that's why we talk about it, and why we talk in depth, and why I want you guys to understand. I'm sure all of you know somebody that either believes this gift exists or they believe they have it. And out of love, we must talk to them about it, because we want to see them grow in their faith and in their knowledge of Scripture. We see here in our text that when one person in a church speaks in tongues and no one is available to interpret, it should not be done. Okay, now there are churches that have interpreters that are up there. But most of the time you walk in, it's not just one person, two or three saying something and then the person interpreting. It's like 100 saying something. You know, and therefore it's not biblical to do it in that fashion. So even if the gift still exists today, the way it's used today, and in churches, and in homes, sorry, it is not biblical. It does not line up in Scripture. Because even in the home, if it's not edifying to, as we saw in the passage, if it's not edifying to the believer, what good is it? If you do not know what you are saying, it's better to praise the Lord in a way that you understand. The reason I bring that up is because brothers and sisters in Christ that I've spoken to throughout the years, they will say things, well, I worship the Lord at home and I speak in tongues to the Lord. I just feel so good. And I'm like, well, what do you feel good about? What do you feel good about? You see, when I'm reading the Word of God and it tells me that I have everlasting life, I feel good about the fact that I have everlasting life. When I come to Scripture that tells me that I can come boldly before the throne of grace, I can come before Him boldly because of what Christ did for me, I don't need to come to Him in shame, but I come to Him and I just know that He's there and He understands everything that I went through, that the book of Hebrews talks about. I have a comforter. I have someone who cares for me. I'm excited about that. That's what I feel better about. But if I don't know what I'm feeling better about, it's a placebo. It's really not something that makes a difference to me spiritually. I feel so close to God. Why? Why do you feel close to God? I just do. No. There needs to be a reason why. There has to be a foundation for that. If you don't know why, it's not edifying. It's a temporary fix. And it's probably not of God. I feel better after I eat pizza. Okay? Why? Because of the chemical stuff it does in my mind. Okay? That's why I feel better. Can you put your finger on why you feel better? In tongues, unfortunately, I believe the way it's done today, it's empty. And that saddens me. Now, the person will not say it's empty, but they also don't know how they just grew in Christ in their relationship. And to be honest, just as teachers today like to tickle the ears of listeners, I believe Satan does the same thing. And he uses teachers to do it, but he also does that in our lives. There are plenty of things that give us temporary fixes, right? Plenty of things that make us feel good. It could be laying out in a hammock, whatever. Some things are sinful. Some things are not sinful. There's just things in life that make us feel better. And Satan can very easily trick us in this matter. Very easily. And I believe tongues today, and I know it might make some of you mad, but maybe you'll understand why by the end of our lessons. I believe they're of the devil today. I don't believe that those individuals doing them are lost. If they've trusted Jesus Christ, they're saved and they're saved forever. I can't judge their salvation by this, right? But just like they can be tricked in this, you and I can be tricked. How many times have you doubted your salvation because maybe you felt you sinned too much? Or you're not living the life you should? You start to doubt the promises of God. Doesn't mean you've lost your salvation, but you're in this place. You've been duped. You've been tricked. Remember, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against powers and principalities, and it is ongoing every day, every second of every day we fight in this battle, and it's this flesh versus the spirit, and Satan comes in. He is a deceiver, and the reason I say it's not of God, it's not to be mean or not to call out, oh, some horrendous sin. No, that's not what it's about. The fact is what they are doing doesn't line up to the Scripture. Therefore, if they are claiming that it is the gift of tongues, that's a lie from the foundation because it doesn't match the gift of tongues in the Bible. Again, it's something else. What is the something else? It doesn't match this definition. And even if it did, is it being done in the proper way? No. If it's not done in the way God says it, it's not of God. It's black and white. And it might make people mad. It's not my intent, but that's just how it is. I could believe that adultery is right, but the Bible says it's wrong. Our society thinks it's right. It's wrong. Okay? Whether I like it or not. If my marriage is failing and it's all horrible and everything like that, the world would say, leave. We're not called to do that. And that person might not like that. Especially when the emotions are all hot. I feel justified in my actions. It happens in Christian homes as well. Sometimes there isn't that reconciliation that can take place. You know, you can't control the other person, right? And it happens. But in your mind, at the end of the day, do you believe it's wrong or do you believe it's right? Sometimes you can't help it and it happens. Other times you can. What do you think about it? Well, we want to line up with the Word of God on every situation and everything that's going on in our lives, including doctrinal things like the gift of tongues. The argument some give who claim to have this gift to try to run away, maybe they don't do this on purpose. That would be maybe an assumption on my part. But some say it's a language of angels that only God knows. So I don't know it, and only God knows it. It's a God voice. It's a God language, or it's an angel language, you'll hear some people say. And they say this because, well, I'm not supposed to understand it, because when I pray, I don't want the devil knowing what I'm saying. Okay? And you've heard me say this before. And I only say this because I've been told this. I'm not, like, making it up. And not every person that believes in the gift of tongues believes this. But this person did. And they say, well, Satan is the Lord of the air, right? So Satan is the Lord of the air. So if I'm praying in a language that Satan knows, he can come around and he can steal that. He can knock my prayer out of the air and it will never reach God. Now, why is that wrong? Because the Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. There's nothing that Satan can do to block our prayers or put it in some sort of bubble so it never reaches our Savior and our God. That's why. So it's human logic getting placed in over above what Scripture actually says. Again, this saddens me because they are losing their edification. So they will say, well, it's a God language. Yes, it's not Spanish. Yes, it's not Italian or whatever, but it's a God language. But again, where is the edification? Now, one verse that they use to back that up, though, is one that we read last week, 1 Corinthians 13. If you go back, just one chapter, there's this verse here that says, in verse 1, it says, though I speak, this is Apostle Paul, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And they'll take this verse, well, Paul could speak in the tongues of angels. That is not what that verse says. That's not what it says. What he's doing, look at everything he says. Did Paul give everything he owned to the poor? No. Look at the context of the Scripture. The fact is here is if I could speak, if you go back and you look at the original language, this is what it means. If I could speak in the tongues, he's giving them an extreme example. Even if I could speak in every tongue known to man, the tongues of angels, and what's the main point? If I have not love, it's nothing, right? But he's saying if he could. He's not saying he can. He's not even saying it's a language that a man can understand. He's just saying if he could. Doesn't matter how powerful you think your gift of tongues is, if you don't have love, it means nothing. And so they'll go to this verse and say he spoke with the tongues of angels. Paul did not have the gift of speaking like an angel. He spoke in what the Bible defines tongues as. Okay? So let's keep that in mind. He's given an extreme example. Well, let's move on in this text for now. In the same chapter. Actually, we're going to be in 13 because we're going to change the topic here a little bit. Now, Paul, before I get into this, remember at the end of chapter 14, he could not, with the right mind, with truth, tell the church to, you need to stop speaking in tongues. He couldn't do this. Why? Because tongues were in existence at this point. They were in existence at this point. So he's not going to say forbid tongues, but also like we learned last week, not everyone has the gift of tongues, and they were starting to fade away. They were starting to kind of leave the church setting. Well, why? Why is this? Why was this going on? Well, look at chapter 13, verse 4. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So we get to another example in our study on the gift of tongues, verse 8. And it's debated by many godly men and women. These following thoughts are taken by many of our faith and by me personally. But as you can guess already, I believe tongues have ceased. These verses, they give to us three time periods. They give to us the time when the gift of prophecy, tongues, and knowledge, this is revelation by knowledge, or knowledge by revelation, are in force. They give us a time when these gifts have failed, will cease, or vanish away. And we see that there then is a time where only love remains, but faith and hope do not remain. Now, this in itself shows us that prophecy, tongues, and knowledge are at different times. There's a time, it's placed in a certain dispensation, if you will. It's within a biblical dispensation, but they have their own time frame. They do not go the entire church age. Then we see faith, hope, and love mentioned here as well. Now, at the time that Paul was writing this, we can tell by his words, he is looking for something else to replace these things. Okay? He's looking for something to replace these things because he knows these things are going to cease, that they are going to vanish away. So we're given a hint right here. They're only for a certain time. Now, we must understand here, there are two different beliefs for this. One is that it is when Jesus Christ comes, that which is perfect. They say that that means Jesus Christ. The other belief is the completion of Scripture. I hold to the second view, that is the completion of Scripture. Why? Because in the context, the prophecy and the knowledge in tongues, as we look through the book of 1 Corinthians and we come across gifts and all these things, what are they for? They're for a purpose, right? They're for a purpose. That means it's for a particular time. They're serving their purpose. And what Paul is waiting for is not some, does Jesus Christ take their place? Now just think about that for a second. Does Jesus Christ take the place of tongues, faith, knowledge, you know, all these things? Well, no. Jesus Christ, he came, he died already, and we place our trust in him to be saved. Something is taking the place of these gifts. Well, Jesus Christ is, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Okay? What this perfect means is mature. It means complete in our text. Now, is he mature and complete? Of course. He is perfect. But don't let the word perfect fool you. It means complete and mature. What is the purpose of these gifts? It is for edification purposes. This is why I hold the view that which is perfect should come as the entirety of Scripture. Because it takes the place of the need for special revelation from God. Because I have everything written down for me. I no longer have to wait for a vision or a revelation from God to explain to me how to live, or to teach me a certain doctrine, or to refresh me in what the gospel is and my eternal security. I have the Word of God to tell me all of those things. You see, the Word of God can replace all of those things. Jesus Christ does not fit into that category. Okay? That's one reason why I believe it, but also because the perfect is in a neuter tense. It is not a masculine tense. And when describing Jesus Christ, it would be done in a masculine tense. So look at this as when we receive the Word of God. Now, why am I saying this? Well, because we must understand the purpose of tongues and why they were here. And we must understand that something has already come to replace it. Now, if you do not believe, this is exaggerating a little bit, but I'm just trying to make a point. A person who, some people who believe that they need a revelation or something from God, or they need a new vision, or they need a new understanding given to them by God, they don't mean to, but what they were really saying is, this isn't good enough. The Word of God isn't good enough. I need something more than this. Because this must not be, this isn't complete. It's not everything I need, and when it comes to my understanding with God. Now, they don't mean to say that. They love the Lord. But by searching for something different, that is what, in the end, they are saying. And that's a dangerous path to go down. But the reason they might think this way is because they don't understand Scripture in the first place, unfortunately. They don't understand that there were reasons and purposes. Number one, we talked about last week, was the establishment of the church. Is the church established today? Yes. The church is established today. So that purpose is no longer needed. And I give the example of the Red Sea crossing. Could God cross, you know, part the Red Sea again? He could, but would he? Probably not, because it served its purpose for that time, on that day, right? But another reason we must think about in regards to tongue is the scripture. I didn't write the chapter down. Maybe it's 14. I just want to make sure. Yes. In chapter 14, we read these verses. Verse 21, it says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. We have edification for the believer here. We have those who need to hear it. Now, if it's written in the law, what's this mean? What's this telling us? There's going to be a point in the future, because it was written in the law, not in the time of the Corinthians right here, but this is when it was happening. There will be a time where they will see these other tongues take place. And that's a sign to the nation of Israel that judgment is going to come. If you do a quick look at a pattern in the Old Testament, we learn in Genesis chapter 11, that God has a message for the people. The people refuse to listen to God. God causes tongues to be heard as a sign of judgment, meaning another nation would physically harm them, and dispersion follows. This happens in Deuteronomy chapter 28, Jeremiah 5, Isaiah 28. But we see an opposite that is taught in Isaiah 33. And that is the context of the millennial reign of Christ. God purposely causes tongues not to be heard, indicating that Israel would enjoy the blessings of God and there would be no more dispersions. So there's this pattern that takes place. God would use the tongues of other men as a sign to them. The gift of tongues had many purposes within it, and one of them was a reminder to the fact that another nation would soon be coming to cause issues in their lives. And we know that happened in 70 AD to Christians, but also Jewish people. But you had the temple that was destroyed. The Jews have no place to worship. When Jesus Christ talked to the nation of Israel, he told them, because of their rejection of them, their temple would be destroyed. And you know what? It happened. It happened. And there's no temple to this day. Why? Because we're still within the age of the Gentiles. You see, there was a purpose for this. When we compare the tongues of the Old Testament to the New Testament, we see that the tongues of the New Testament were a gift to offer the Jews a chance to reflect and to trust Jesus Christ. They would see the Spirit, and there's Old Testament passages that prophesy about how their children would speak in tongues. Their sons and their daughters would do this. And if they knew anything about prophecy, I believe it's in the book of Jeremiah, or Joel, that if they have any recollection of the prophecies given, when they would hear this, they would go, whoa, the Messiah. Messiah has come. We will trust. But if we reject this, punishment will come. And guess what it did? Because the majority did not. The tongues were a reminder of that judgment would come. The tongues of the New Testament said, trust Christ Messiah or judgment will become. And once again, it did. And as we compare the order to the Old Testament, the New Testament to the Old Testament, we see that God has a message for the people. The people refuse to listen to God. God causes tongues to be heard and dispersion follows. All this to say the gifts of tongues also, not only did they serve as a sign to establish the church, but they also served as a sign, as a judgment for unbelieving Israel. Let me ask you, did judgment on Israel take place? Yes. 70 AD, right? So if the church is established, the purpose of tongues was to help with that, and that's done. Judgment has taken place to the Jews. That's done. That's two things, the purpose for tongues that have already been taken care of. So what is the need for, biblically, tongues for today? Now next week we'll get into a little more of this. I know it's kind of a long study, but I can't just come up here and say, I believe tongues have ceased. See you later. People will stone me. Okay? So it takes a few weeks to get through these things and to show you different proofs from Scripture and why I believe what I believe. You can agree or disagree with me. That's up to you. But at least it gives me a chance to plead my case to you. Well, today let's close in a word of prayer, and we'll finish this study up next week. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the Word of God and the truth that is in it. We thank you, Lord, that it is complete and that we have everything we need there for our daily lives. It talks to us about your love for us, that you are our Savior. It tells us our future, something to look forward to. And Lord, we just couldn't live day to day without it. We thank you that the Holy Spirit reminds us of the truths that are in it. And I pray, Lord, no matter where a person stands on this issue, that they would humble themselves and look at the Word of God and just see what it says and apply it to their life. And sometimes when we read the Word of God, it can really impact us and it can hurt us emotionally. But I pray that when it happened, I pray that it would actually help us to draw closer to you. Help us, Lord, to do that. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.